Well, we kind of started the series called Power, Love and Sound Mind. That was about 2 weekends ago. And so you come to the tail end of the series. So you can watch, go to Netflix. Just kidding, okay? You can catch up all the episodes so that you can kind of follow our trend of thoughts. Power, Love and Sound Mind was very intentional. It was one thing to create a focus, and typically every March of every year, we wanted to reel everybody back to the way why we exist as a church. And the reason we exist as a church is to really make disciples. And you see it in the screen all the time, honor God and make disciples. And our goal every year is to take this concept of making disciples closest to your heart. And making disciples is a big thought. It's something that Jesus said when he left. And he says that, go and make disciples of all nations. So we wanted to use this particular passage, which is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and we'll eventually come to that, to talk about power, love, and sound mind. So today, my focus is actually power. Now, so before I jump into the passage, I wanted to say two things that we have been trying to say a couple of weeks. First of all, we wanted to encourage as many of you who have not found a place to serve. Just in case you do not know what is WOW, WOW was a concept that we created many years ago. And we say that when we are able to take our serving as our worship unto God, and we are able to own it, and we give wholeheartedly, it creates a WOW to anybody that walks into the church. Now, this morning, for me, every weekend, the worship team has only been a WOW for me. Can I go to amen? Right? And that's because every one of them is their worship unto God, and they own it. They'll come as morning as early as, 6:30, you know, or 6 a.m. just to be able to practice for all the different services. And it's also doing it wholeheartedly. Whenever they do that, it becomes a WOW. So that you walk the way you, wow, you know, that was so good. So we this year it was very particular of me that I hope to be able to try to limit every volunteer to serve once a month or maximum twice a month. Now, some ministry you just can't. Like the kids' church, you cannot serve once a month because if you were to serve once a month, every month the student come, they say, oh, another new teacher. They need to familiarize with your face. So which is why we potentially do twice a month. But my goal is to spread the serving in such a fashion that everybody can enjoy the life that God has given unto us and still live it very powerfully and meaningfully. So which is why I wanted as many of you to jump on board. And I said it again and again. If you can only do once a year project, we have something for you. If you can only do every 6 months, we have something for you. But we want everybody to jump on the board. Together with that, we have the 3 lots that we are going to do renovation. And this is something that we want to make it available. If you want to step up and be able to participate, to write the next chapter together, share the load, okay? And I just want to leave it as such. I know money has always been sensitive. And I'm not here to do fundraising, but I'm here to put up to every one of you that if this is part of your church and you like to be part of this, then it's not how big, how small. It's owning a piece of writing the next chapter together. All right? Now, let me jump into the series. Love, Power, Sound Mind has that little subtitle called A Spirit-Empowered Discipleship. What we wanted is every one of us think and link the way you live your life is to live with the Holy Spirit. Whether you're going to have your ups and downs of your life, whether you're going to have your depth, breadth, width, broadness, your height, your lowest, no matter what season you go through, you want the Holy Spirit to be really part of your life and not just to help you to navigate life better, which range from finding a car park, to all the way to getting good food or wrestling with life challenges, mental health. And I think Holy Spirit wants to come alongside, which is why the Bible says He is the Comforter. He is the one that comes alongside. But more than that, that the Spirit will empower us as we go about our daily lives. For a housewife, He has her own version. For a general manager, He has her own version. For my version is to play badminton a little bit more. As much as I can. But as I go about doing that, I do not want to I want to play with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, okay? But I'm able to live a life that I can be able to take the love of God to as many people as possible, okay? So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, when he left, he gave them this particular phrase, okay? Would you read together? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, all right? Now, so for the rest of the book of Acts, he was trying to live out this particular verse. Everyone that comes on the scene, every location that was mentioned, every miracle that was being described was to fulfill and help the whole world to see that this is why the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is upon you. Now, out of that, this is not an official map, but this is a hypothesis. So if you know the life of Paul that we were trying to track, so Paul, God called him, he served God for 20 over years, about 23, 25, maybe max 26, okay? In that span of years, he lived out what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if you actually can recall, Paul started with Jerusalem. He made 3 missionary trips. All the way to, first of all, Asia Minor, and then, that was the first trip. Asia Minor, the second trip, a little bit towards the Macedonian, and eventually all the way, and then made his so-called, a lot of people call the fourth missionary journey trip, where he went to Rome, and that's where he was in prison. So the book of Acts covered until Acts 28, when he was in imprisonment. And that was what we call the first imprisonment by Rome. It was a house arrest. You still can visit him, bring your nasi lemak, catch up with him. He was chained and he was able to mix with the palace guards, you know, some form of freedom. You know, so he had a lot of freedom and he made his case. And it was very clear that he was released from imprisonment for a couple of years. What happened during those years, nobody knew. But the Bible gives us glimpse enough because right after that, he wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy, especially when he was in his second imprisonment. So when you piece together all the little phrases that the Bible used and Book of Acts and here and there, when you piece everything together, it is highly most probable that actually Paul went to Spain, all the way from Rome all the way to Spain. And somewhere along this journey, most probably people believe it was somewhere in Corinth, or Ephesus, he was caught again, and eventually he was in prison, and then eventually he was beheaded. Somewhere around AD 63, all the way to some even believe AD 67 or 68, before AD 70, which is the biggest persecution where the entire temple in Jerusalem was melted down. Okay, this will give you that little historical context. Now, I said all of that to give you a glimpse of Paul being empowered by the Spirit, took the gospel from Jerusalem, about 4,000 miles, all the way to Spain without Air Asia. It was through boats. It was through lots of turmoil. And then at the end of his life, which is at 2 Timothy, which is the last book that he wrote, before eventually he was beheaded. Nobody knows how long, maybe a couple of months, maybe a couple of weeks. But you knew that he was caught again by the Roman soldier very abruptly because he was so abrupt that he could not get his book. He didn't even get his jacket, which is why he wrote to Timothy. He says, I wish to see you for one last time. Please bring my parchment and my cloak, which is my cloth, my jacket, if you're able to visit me. You can read all of that in 2 Timothy. So I give you that whole little context to tell you that Paul lived out what it means to be empowered by the Spirit. And at the end of his life, when he wrote to Timothy, he wrote to a Timothy that was full of anxiety, pastoring a very difficult church. Praise God, that's not every nation. You should turn to your neighbor and say, yeah. I agree with Pastor Tim, okay? And he wrote that to tell and reminded Timothy. He says, something about when you're empowered by the Spirit, it's not a fear. Now, would you read together? But of power, love, and sound mind. Now we decided to take this little expression and helping us to piece together a picture. When you are empowered by the Spirit, what does it mean? It simply means that I think there are 3 layers of expression in your life. First of all, it's the love. And we started off by writing a new chapter. Every time you choose to love, you write a new chapter. Every time you choose to love, you help someone to connect to who God is. So we always ask this question, what does love require us to do in this scenario, in that scenario, in this conflict, in that business decision making, in your family, in your marriage? What does love require you to do? Then Eugene did Saumai. Oh, sorry, Jason. See, I wasn't very sound. Jason did Saumai, which is one thing to help all of us that has a way to think about. There's a little wholeness in the way we think. And all this begins, I think, in the smack of our background, which has so many little voices that tell us how life is supposed to live. I think when you believe in God, there's a soundness in your thinking. And I always tell people, just the thought that you live without a God and live with God, it's a big keystone thinking that affects the rest of your life. Because if you live without God, there is no accountability. There's no morality. You can live and choose whatever way you want. Morality is all defined by you. It's what you like. But if there is a God, you live your life differently. If there is an eternity, if there is a heaven and hell, you live your life differently, because life is not just a span of 40, 50, 60 years. It's forever. So there are big thinking that helps you to navigate life way better. I call it a Saumai. And today, I'm going to talk about power. The phrase power, it's dunamis, which is a very big Greek word to cover anything that's powerful. It ranges from sheer number when you have a lot of people. It also means internal power. But I like the thought that power is the ability to perform a miracle. Or some version, or some scholars would say the word, it's the power of God in us to do the things that God wants us to do. Okay? Now, I'm going to very quickly give you three thoughts on power. Okay? It won't be so quick, but I'll do my best. Okay? The first one is, when you begin to understand the book of Acts, you understand that power is needed in both extreme situations. Now, whenever we talk about power, we like to think about power as someone getting healed. Dead being raised. Something, a miracle that happened to me or to someone. And we said, that's very powerful. And sometimes I think we limit the thought about power to be only the expression. But did you know, actually power of God is in both your strongest and your weakest moment. Book of Acts. Altogether, there's about 30 miracles. If you go back and count every single miracles in that 28 chapters, you'll find that the same book of Acts that tells you the dead being raised, and it's the same book of Acts that tells you more than 12 instances of people being imprisoned, persecuted, stoned to death, but they needed the power of God. It's the same power. And sometimes I think being maybe potentially some of our background, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever, we celebrate the power that people get healed. Now, which we will always contend for that. But the truth is, we cannot control that. But we can believe God for that because we know God is able. But the Bible is very clear that miracles are signs and wonders to point us to the greater miracle worker, which is Jesus, which is the relationship with Jesus. Now, when you understand power that works in both extremes, you can be more at rest, even though when you pray for something, it doesn't happen. In fact, it was very interesting because 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, which is the verse after 1 verse 7, he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, the prisoner. Rather, would you say together? Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by, I would rather change, join with me in escaping prison door by the power of God, which Paul had it before. Well, Peter had it. Paul was a little bit different package. But my point is this. So when we think about power, we tend to think of the miraculous provision, but we never thought about the power is also the suffering that we do go through. Now, again, I'm not trying to promote suffering, and I know it's always a sensitive subject, but I also want to qualify that suffering, the Bible, when we talk about suffering, is not of our own stupidity. It's always suffering for the gospel. Just to say, some of you, you know, who whole entire life drink Coca-Cola every day, and age 35, you got diabetes, and then you blame God. That's not the suffering that the Bible is talking about, okay? But power is needed in both extreme situations. In fact, I think the more I grow as a pastor and as a believer and having a relationship with God, the more I appreciate those at the irreconcilable situation still be able to trust God and praise God. And I look at it, I say, that's so powerful. That's so incredibly, I want to be like that. I if I'm ever in those spots, I want to learn from them. You know, a couple of days ago, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, some of you know, some of you may not know, but Pastor Mark, wife Caroline, who diagnosed with brain tumor a couple of, maybe about 2 months ago, had a little bit of growth, and the doctor decided to do a deeper surgery. So she went through 3 surgeries. Yesterday night was Joshua and Christine's wedding, so we were all there, and you know, we got to take picture with Ma, Caroline, and so good to see them. And I know it's been a very difficult journey. So it was difficult for them, was difficult for us, because we were all friends, grew up together, well, not grew up, USM, chased girls together, okay? So there's so much memories, there's so much relational connection. So I text Mark. I said, Mark, how are you navigating with this new piece of information? And I will never forget. Mark says, Romans 8:28. I believe that all things work together for good. And I trust that this new information will only help us to be better. I thought about that. I thought about many of us would have wanted, in Jesus' name, the tumor be gone. I want that. He wants that. Everybody wants that. But sometimes, we never know. But Paul here, he says, would you join me for the suffering? Not by your own strength, by the power of God. And you know that Paul writes such an incredible chapter of his life in prison. He managed to appear before potentially the Roman Empire, I don't know, the Roman Emperor. He managed to preach the gospel. And the Bible says the entire palace guard heard the gospel. So I want you to kind of reframe your thinking. When the Bible says we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not just version one. It's actually a wholeness of everything. Whether in bad or good time, we need the power of God. The second thought, power is seen when we learn to be a witness. I've known a lot of people, they always tell me, Pastor, how come my life no miracles one? Now, I'm a bit presumptuous here, but I'm careful. But I think there's a certain element in our life where you learn how to step up to be a witness for God. That I think you get to see a certain miracles that follows. Because the Bible says signs and wonders will follow. I can recall so many instances of my life where because I step up, I step up to reach out, I step up to challenge, I step up to encourage. And every time when you do that, sometimes God did a miracle. I've shared this before, but I still remember, and this story was particularly meaningful because of the person that the people that I brought along with me. Many years ago, we went to China for a mission trip. And I brought along people like Fusan and Bishan. And Fusan and Bishan, I think it was their first time to actually make a trip to China. So on the plane, you know, we're all excited. And they asked me, you know, Pastor, how is it like in China? And you know, some of you know that China is a very close country and you cannot preach the gospel. So every time when you have a foreigner, there's always a little risk for the church there. But anyway, you know, we all look very Chinese. And we love Chinese food. So we blend into the culture very well. So I still remember that we make a trip and it was in Xiamen, okay? We went to Xiamen and they booked a particular hotel, like a 3-star hotel. They booked the entire place. The front hall became their service because the whole entire hotel was booked by them. We had 100 over campus students. And that's the only way you do it. So I still remember we were there. It was on our second or third, I think it was second day. At about 4 to 5 p.m., we were sitting outside. So we have the hotel, opposite is a beach. So it's a very nice place. Hotel, opposite is just an open beach. We were sitting opposite the hotel, and we were chatting about 4 to 5 p.m. And all of a sudden, we saw 3 police cars, 1 truck and 2 police cars, came in very swiftly. And then the police came out and rallied and asked everybody to go to the main hall. So somehow the police knew about the gathering, which was illegal in China. And myself and, you know, the one that's leading us, everybody was shocked because it was so sudden. And then asked us, they said, go hide in the beach, okay? So as we were making our way towards the beach, the police were screaming behind us. Everybody, was screaming about us, okay? What was amazing was, in front of us was a group of people who were picnic. So about 7 to 8 of them, they were having picnic party, you know, having, fire, all of that. And they were almost like where maybe Peter and Michelle is. Okay, that's our version, Peter 2.0. The short hair Peter, okay? First it was a six packs, now it's a short hair, okay? Anyway, so they were this distance away, and the police came behind us and asked all of them, 7 or 8 of them, to go inside, but ignore us walking towards the beach. Okay, I cannot understand that. So he was shouting, screaming. So everybody walked, go inside the beach. We just keep on walking towards the beach. We just walked away. They never stopped us, whatever. So we stayed at the beach for the next 6 hours until almost 11 p.m. And we keep on seeing police car in, out. Truck comes in, more policemen comes in because there's 100 over campus students there. And we were just wondering what has happened. You know, I can never... So anyway, no drama. Well, there's a little bit of drama. So the leaders were being interrogated at about 11 p.m. They text us. They say, please come pack your things. We'll send you to the hotel and then take the next flight out immediately. You know, all of that so that we do not make any more complication. But you know, no one can explain. Why didn't the police stop us? I can tell you there's only two reasons. One is either they don't see us. No, seriously. Second reason is just that they thought we were such a hopeless group of people. I don't know. Till today, it baffles me, but I can tell you, if we were all called in and we were foreigners, it complicates the whole scenario 10 times. Because then, it really complicates the entire matter. We were so grateful, and I thought about it. I want to challenge you that sometimes miracles is seen when you step up to be a witness, when you believe God and you dare to serve God, and maybe you see some miracles that God will do because signs and wonders follow. So I have a little statement said, we focus on mission, let God focus on miracles. We focus on witnessing, let God focus on wonders. Let God do what He does best. Third, before I explain the digital, don't worry about the digital. The third thought about power is if you look at the book of Acts, power always involves prayer. Would you say that together with me? Power always involves prayer. Go through every scripture about prayer in Acts. Go through every power incident in Acts. It doesn't tally all together, but you'll find that so often because they pray, something happened. Now, let me give you a whole list of them. At least I wrote down in my note here. They were in the upper room praying. Holy Spirit was poured forth. Peter walked into the temple, beautiful gate, prayed. A lame man was healed. The release of Peter from prison, a group of people was praying. The Bible talked about Paul and Silas. They were singing and praying, and the prison door was open. Acts 4 and 5, they were full of intimidation. And the Bible says they prayed. God gave them boldness to preach the word of God. Stephen, when persecuted, look at the Bible. When he was praying, you know what was he doing? Bible says he was praying while he was being stoned. At pressure point, what does he do? He prayed. Saul was praying when Ananias found him. He was actually praying. The Bible says, God told Ananias, when you go and see him, behold, he is praying. Tabitha was raised from the dead because prayer. Cornelius and Peter, the whole entire Gentile world, the gospel went in because Cornelius, who prayed consistently and in miles away, Peter was praying. And God met Peter and God met Cornelius, pulled those together in the atmosphere of prayer. The entire push of the gospel towards the West, Acts 13, it was in prayer. Now, I am trying to say that we cannot control the power of God, but we can pray. Because prayer is always the tipping point. So it's like I'm navigating life in my natural plane. I'm thinking through, who can I contact? What should I do? Whatever, which hospital, whatever. But when I include prayer, I include the whole kingdom of God. I include a supernatural realm that I cannot explain. Now, I'm sure you got lots of questions to ask. People say, God is so sovereign. Why do you need to pray? On the contrary, it is because God is so sovereign, we should pray. Because He is sovereign, He can change. Therefore, we should pray. And there are many angles to look at prayer. Okay, now, potentially dialogue, you can ask more questions. But this is how I imagine it to be. I believe that as a church, we can make prayer as available to people who needed prayer. So I've worked with our prayer team, Sufi, Pua, Dior, and the team, and hopefully we can grow the team. Is that we will make prayer so available that every Saturday, if prayer needs to be at someone's house, the team will be available to arrange it and pay a visit and pray for the house. And like I say, there's the recent spike of more paranormal activity. I don't know, maybe people watch social media paranormal activity too much. Okay, I don't know. So I just want to make prayer available. So you can have prayer before the service, you can have prayer after the service, you can make appointment, you can have altar prayer, you can have prayer to the house. I mean, we are trying to make prayer as accessible for everybody. Okay, good amen. Now, so this is how, oh, you know what? I have a verse that I wanted to share with you, but it's not in the PowerPoint. Is that okay? Okay, could you take out your phone? I want you to read the prayer together. Read the verse. Don't look at your WhatsApp. If your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, please, take out your YouVersion, okay? Just make sure they do that, all right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians chapter 1. Once you are there, say amen. Okay, Philippians 1:19. Hey, you know what? Let's do this, okay? Can we all use the NIV version? So that we read all together in sequence, okay? All right, unless you are, okay, do you know how to change the version? Okay, if you don't know, turn to your neighbor and say, could you coach me? Could you help me? Could you, okay, can you all do that? Are you there? Okay, Philippians 1 verse 19. Let's read together. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, this is a big verse. You know why is it a big verse? It is so rich with thought. He wrote it when he was having his first imprisonment. He says, all this happened to me, turned out for my deliverance, which is quite true. He was eventually got out of prison and be able to do the will of God and before he was went back for his second imprisonment, okay? But he talked about this combo of God's provision and your prayer. And I like that word. He says, through your prayer. I really hope and pray that in our lifetime, we have many moments people will come to us and say, you know what, Peter and Michelle, thank you. Thank you for praying for me. Through your prayer, I had all the courage and never gave up about life. Oh, I hope people will go to Jeremy. Happy birthday, Jeremy. Today is Jeremy's birthday, okay? He's one of our teens leader. And Jeremy, thank you. Thank you for standing with me. I was mentally depressed, but your prayer, through your prayer. The Bible says, Paul says, through your prayer, the Philippi church, he says, your prayer make a difference. You know, there were different moments where you experienced through your prayer. Now, as a pastor, I experienced quite a fair bit. People will come to me and sometimes say, hey, Pastor, thank you for praying. And honestly, some of them I also forgot. But I think the most dramatic one was between me and Pastor Jonathan. When I was studying USM, really long time ago, but this is the most dramatic. At about 2 to 3 a.m., I woke up from my sleep and I just could not sleep. I tried to go to sleep again and I could not sleep. And all of a sudden, I felt like I really needed to pray for Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, and his family. By then, he's not married, but same girlfriend. So at about 2:30 a.m., I think, I prayed for him. I prayed for about 10 minutes, and I felt released and also sleepy. So I slept. I woke up at about 6, 7 a.m. I called him because it was very burdensome. I said, bro, last night at about 2:30 a.m. like that, 2:15 or 2:30 a.m., I was awoken from my sleep and I took time to pray for you. I said, anything happened? And then he told me the story. He says, we were on a particular van moving from Teluk Intan to Penang with the mother. He says, we spin at about 2 a.m. or so. The car spin or the van spin, hit the side of the rail, which down there was a ravine. That means that if there's no rail, the car would have gone down. All of us would have, you know, whatever happened, happened. He says, first of all, God protected us from that. Then, he says, middle of the night, right, with a whole van full of things that they, you know, they just move house. He says, we were waiting, don't know what to do. We are glad that we are safe. Now, by then, no Grab, no, very different from today's world, okay? He says, after about 15, 20 minutes, he says, you would not believe it. He says, a van, exactly the same model, totally empty, happened to pass by. He says, so they stopped there and then helped them move everything from their van into this van and drove all the way to Penang. I would like to think that my prayer contributes at least a tire. Now, I cannot answer you if you tell me, Pastor, if you don't pray, then van don't come. I don't know. Because this whole prayer thing, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, you know, all that, there are so many lens to look at prayer. It's complex. Though we can talk about it. But all I know, the Bible tells me enough that we should pray, and we should pray unceasingly. We should pray expecting. We should pray believing. We should pray in faith. That I want to be that posture. Come on, okay, good amen. I'm saying all of that to say that I pray that we get to hear more stories of people and say, through your prayer, through your prayer, through your prayer, I got to experience this. Okay, now let me wrap this up by saying this. Okay, so this is how I think. Okay, now we are trying to build up this, and I don't know how far do we go, but this is how I think. I want to encourage as many of us to think power, love, and sound mind. So as you go through your life, right, as you go to your office, you're going to meet someone who says that, you know what, my mom is sick, you know, and then you, have you tried prayer? Huh? What is that? Prayer, lah. Maybe God will make a difference. You don't know. We have the house of prayer, the power prayers want to make as available as possible. Now, of course, your job is to pray, not outsource the prayer, lah. Your job is to pray, okay? We want everybody to pray. And then include the prayer as well, right? You go through life like that, believing there's always the power of God. Or you go through your life and you can show the love of God. How? Some people, they are so lonely, they really need a life group. We serve the unprivileged. We serve Pusat Sama Sama for the Indian and the M community. We have our after-school class that happens on a daily basis. We have so many different serve the underprivileged. Maybe you like to do that, or your friends like to do that. Join us to do that. We are increasingly having this sport together. We're badminton. If you go there, I think we are going to put basketball. We got praise dance. Don't know what is praise dance. Go take a look. You will like it. Not praise the dancer, but you get to join. All I know is we had a group of people who do hiking, and it was Selby who helped me out with that. And I think she got this 30th of March already got more than 12 people going to hike. Together, everybody are new to each other. They get to know each other and then just hike together, okay? And we are trying to, this Empire Entrepreneur, you know, something that Hao Chun has really helped us and going to kickstart in 1 to 2 months' time. Actually, April, we're going to kickstart. We have our Saturday Night Live where we want to make it to really be a board game moments. We have an open mind. We are still piece everything together. Or we have so many support groups. We got single mom support group. We got special needs support group. We have, you know, so many different things. Why? So that we can show the love of God. So maybe as you walk through your life, you're going to find someone that, you want to play badminton. You know what? I've got a whole bunch of people that know how to play badminton. Let me link them to you. Go to this QR code. Oh, you like to play basketball? Nobody to play basketball. Okay, go to this QR code. There are people who play basketball. You like to do hiking? Nobody. Okay, you like to do rock climbing? Okay. There are people who do rock climbing. Do rock climbing together. I'm saying all of that to also ask the church, if you are someone who like to do certain thing and you're open to include others, contact us so that we have this way of just creating a network to show the love of God. Of course, please don't quarrel. And then sound mind. There are some people who are a bit more cognitive or mental health. I think we got irony, we got discovery. I'm trying to help us to think like this. Having all this different platform to help in making disciples, believing that the power of God will reach someone, believing that the love of God will reach one, believing that the sound mind, having an intellectual conversation will help someone to connect the dot to who God is. Can I go to amen? Now, so I've said all of that to complete this series, and I want you to walk away having this in your mind. God, a spirit-empowered discipleship is where I learn how to show the love of God, where I believe for the power of God. And for some people, I get to have a meaningful conversation about who God is. And I think in doing so, hopefully, we get to see as many people come to know the Lord. Can I go to amen? All right, why don't we pray, and then we'll jump into the dialogue. God, today we talk about power. Always, the power of God is being revealed when we learn how to pray and grow in our prayer. God, Philippians 1:19, such an incredible verse because it says, through your prayer. God, I pray that every one of us who believe in God, in our lifetime, we get to experience again and again because of our prayer, together with the provision of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see the making of a miracle right in front of our eyes. Sometimes it's not just a physical healing. Sometimes it's an emotional healing. But we get to play that part and help us to live our life as we go about our daily life, knowing well that the Spirit of God expresses itself in power, love, and sound mind. So God, we want to dedicate ourselves and say, God, help us to be a disciple and make disciple. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. 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 Amen.